Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Private Potters, welcome back to part two. Here we are. We're still with the wonderful storytelling, Andy King. Let's go. But I think, but also it was a time of like, you know, there was like no social media, things like that. So people got away with things. But right. As I said, you know, like I said, you know, cut to many years in, you're doing Fire Festival and things like that, and everything, you know, you thought everything was going to go right. And I know I keep going on about it. It's just so interesting from people who haven't met you before, is that you're then thrown into where you're trying to make all these things happen at Fire Festival and nothing is going right.
Well, can you imagine? I mean, I arrive and I have 6 weeks before the first guests are arriving. I have 6 weeks to build a music festival that you should build in 12 months. And there I have 6 weeks. I'm like, and there's no infrastructure. Mm. We have no plumbing. There's no electricity. There's nowhere for anybody to sleep. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But I'm like, and they're
serious?
All looking at me. Like, the whole team, these kids are like wide-eyed. I'm like, well, Andy, I've been there 1 hour. And they're like, what do you think? Are we going to make it? And I'm like, we're going to make it. Don't worry. But I said, we're changing the message immediately. The messaging is going to change. This is not a luxury music festival. This is a cool music festival in the Bahamas. You're going to come and sleep in a fucking tent. Your girlfriend's in her beautiful bikini. You're in this cool bathing suit. You're drinking tequila. You're eating fun grilled foods. And you're listening to amazing music. That's it. $1,200, not a bad deal. But no. When did Billy change the messaging for the fucking festival? 10 hours before the first guest got there.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, and as you guys know, just to... You know, I could go on and on and on about it. If anything could go wrong, it went wrong. Every day something went wrong. And I literally had 400 employees. Every day I'd have two meetings. And at the end of each meeting, they'd say, are you going to pull the plug? And I'd say, no, we're going to still keep going. Don't worry, we're going to make it happen. And then I'd close the French doors and I'd step out onto the deck and I'd burst into tears. I'd go, oh, you know, I got to pull myself together. But I literally was like, I can't fucking believe.
Because Billy just kept pushing it.
He just had this vision. And I...
Did he actually have a vision, or was it? Was he?
He got in so deep at that point. You can imagine. I mean, basically, he borrowed. He got $26 million in investments, and to make this happen, but private jets and models and videos and resorts. At one point, I looked. I said, Billy, there's 40 of us, and we're staying at a resort, which is $800 a night per person, and this is when we're working.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that financial model work? It doesn't. But Billy controlled all the finances from his iPad. Like, none of us were, even his CFO, like, Billy was controlling all the money coming in and going out. It was
constant. Money obsessed, right?
Oh, so totally. And he was always, when we were always helping him build Magnesius, he's like, Andy, you know, first impressions everything and images everything. And so he insisted on buying this Maserati and getting a driver, and he just wanted that look.
He wanted that look the whole time.
But he came from a good family, but they're hardworking people. But it's like, mom's a banker and his father was an engineer. You know, they did fine. They lived
but he
in
had
a nice
this vision
home.
Of wanting to be this person. That
absolutely.
Yeah.
And he had this affinity for rappers. And so, I mean...
And Ja Rule is an odd choice. You go for, it's like you would go, okay, I'm going to get like Jay-Z. He said no. Okay, I'm going
to
get.
Because we produced Ja. Ja came to perform for us.
Is
for
it Ja?
Party.
Is it Ja?
Ja, Ja.
Ja, Ja.
Ja rule. Ja came to, you think, Ja, yeah, no, 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 Ja, boom. And then Ja, like, featured me in one of his latest songs, like, insulting me. It's like, something.
You,
like,
do
that.
You really?
I don't know.
You've had a diss. Something. You've had a diss. You need to respond with a track.
No, because, jeez, yeah, I should. Did you, what was the track?
What was the track? Have you heard it? What's the line?
What?
Something about Andy.
I don't know what you're talking about. Sucking dick. So, as you viewers know, let's talk about the white elephant in the room. It's a big elephant.
Okay.
And it's a big black dick in the Bahamas, obviously. That I was going to suck to free up 200,000 plastic Evian water bottles, in which I don't allow plastic at any of my events because I'm a zero waste event planner. But I was in Bermuda the weekend before because I was hosting the opening ceremonies for the America's Cup there. And, I missed the meeting where Billy had cut the deal with Evian, who became a major sponsor. And so there it was in one of these big meetings, and then the phone rings. Billy wasn't at most of the meetings. He's like, Andy, I need a favor. I'm like, well, what's that? He's like, I was hoping you could take a big one for the team. And I'm like, you don't think I take a big one every day? Oh, my God, this is a fucking living nightmare. It's like, well, will you go suck Brian Cunningham's dick? Now, that's the head of customs.
This is the ultimate test of your...
This is it. Like, and I'm like, after 30 fucking years of being the successful event planner, this is my crescendo?
It's funny.
Yeah,
you reached the pinnacle.
I'm now the blowjob king of the world. Super. This is my accolade. Yeah, that's what I want on my tombstone? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? But you know what? It wasn't like he said, go find 9 vaginas and sleep with them. Like, one dick, I can handle. I'm a gay guy.
You solve every problem
dick.
As well.
Right.
So you can't say no. You
so
have to
fine.
Solve it.
I will suck the dick, right? Whatever. But I'm like, Billy, you're kidding, right? He's like, I'm not kidding. I'm like, you're kidding. I mean, really, like, first of all, Brian's not very cute. I don't even think he's gay. He's like, no, I think he's gay. This is, I'm like, oh, God.
I think he's
gay. Yeah, I think. Yeah, this is the test. Yeah. And then what do you do? Like, I'm like, okay, well, so I drove home. I was totally nervous, you know, and that's the story. Like, I took a shower, I changed my clothes, and then I
put on something nice.
And then I drank some mouthwash. And everybody's like, well, why would you take mouthwash? I'm like, well, have you ever had somebody suck your dick with bad breath and it's left on your body for a while? It's just not pretty. And I can't believe I'm talking about this out loud, but this is what happened.
It's so true. Yeah, so true.
Right. So I'm like, no, I will douche my mouth with. And I got to his office fully prepared to suck his dick. And obviously, that one stupid line. And this is what happened. Like, I had 8 hours of interviews with Netflix on our farm, you know, in our barn. Everything's fine. And I mean, finally, I'm like, oh, I got to stop. This is, you know, and the cameras are going down. And then I'm like, okay, phew. And I look at Chris Smith, the director. And I'm like, Chris, well, I should probably just tell you one last story, you know. But then, because there's no cameras on me. Of course, yeah, no cameras.
Yeah, no
like
cameras.
90 behind me. I mean, I don't know, 50 microphones. I'm like, well, just want to tell you this little story. And of course, boom, you know. The next day, I call my business partner. And he's like, you didn't tell the blowjob story, did you? I'm like, I did at the end. You didn't, you know. And then, boop. Jessica, my lawyer, Andy, you didn't tell the blowjob story. I'm like, oh, I did. Well, your career's over. You're ruined.
No.
And I'm like, wow. You know, so call Chris Smith, you know, and they've been in the editing room for days. And Chris is like, Andy, can't take it out. Like, you don't understand. Like, as you know, I mean, Fire was probably one of the top selling streamed documentaries in Netflix's history,
going into
80 million homes around the world.
Much to your
joy. I can't go anywhere without people like, well, now Carol fucking Baskins has taken over my fame.
Yeah, but Andy, also, I don't think you should, it's whatever, but also the great thing, that made you kind of it was an iconic moment. And also, the audience here, we felt for you, right? Because
we really did feel for you. We can all relate being in these situations where you feel
like
you have
like, you're
to
trying
do
to do anything to save something. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? And at the end of the day, it gets kind of got a little scary for us because I'd go to some really prominent events and I won't name, you know, too many Hollywood people, but like a couple publicists, you know, who represent some of my good friends that are very famous. They'd say, you know, I don't think you should be hanging around with Andy right now. He's toxic.
No.
And I'm like, I'm toxic, you know.
Oh,
or we're
no,
at a big
so
event and an older woman comes up and everybody's like, oh my God, it's Andy King. Andy King is a big circle around me. And she's like, well, am I supposed to know you? And they're like, he's the guy from the Fire Festival. And she's like, oh, you're that scammer? I'm like,
oh,
the
no
scam. There's only one person in the world that was scamming anybody. It was Billy McFarlane, and he's in prison. The rest of us never got paid. I didn't even have a signed contract. And so what happened...
But you get the backlash, and you said it was PTSD from Fire Festival.
And on and on. And I, you know, every day it was like, oh, my word. Listen, all I was doing was trying to do my best. And what I accepted in my mind, I said I would do the documentary for Netflix to create a vehicle to pay back everybody in the Bahamas. And that we started two GoFundMes, as you guys know. And then I went on Andy Cohen, and I was on all these talk shows. And I'm like, oh, my God, we reached a goal. We did this. We did that. Going through this process, I find out that, like, I'm, like, one of the only people that didn't get fucking paid for the documentary. Oh. When I'd asked all my people,
no one gets paid.
I didn't get a penny for the documentary. Can you imagine how much money Netflix has made off of Fire?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And, you know, and then their head of publicity is like, Andy, you know, you've gotten a little bit uppity. And I'm like, uppity? Like, try to be me. I can't go to a restaurant. I can't go to a bar anymore. I can't. It's swarmed. I said, I've lost all my anonymity. And I agreed to do this because I wanted to pay back everybody in the Bahamas. And so at the end of the day now, my job as a famous person is to try to, which you guys are doing every day, which is try to make the world a more positive place. And so the sadness is that COVID hit. And so, yeah, I had 8 TV show offers. I had 4 podcast offers. We shot the first show. I'm flying around the world saving events that are going wrong, on and on. And then, boom, COVID hits. Well,
I
as you mentioned,
there's no events,
obviously. I'm not flying around the world doing anything. And I really, you know, I've been doing a lot, obviously, via Zoom, you know, the new world of Zoom for the last 2.5 years. But ironically, right before COVID, I had booked a 3-month tour through the UK to speak to like 30 universities. Mm. And so one of the things...
About sustainability?
We touch on sustainability, but I was a keynote speaker at Social Media Week in LA and then Social Media Week in New York. And I get up on stage, you know, and I say, listen, how would you like to be one of the most visible failures in pop culture today? And I'm like, Andy, it's not you. And I'm like, well, it became me because I became the most famous fucking meme in the world. Mm. Yeah. And Billy McFarlane's gone to prison and everybody's forgetting about him. Now they focus on Andy King. And I said, guess what? What do you do with that? Well, you get a bucket of lemons and you better make the best fucking lemonade that anybody has ever drunk. And so I get on stage
now. That's such good advice.
But Jamie, here's the cool piece is that I did this speech and I don't know, some professor saw it. And then I immediately got the call from an agent here in London. They're like, Andy, we want to book you on this big tour, because I get on stage and I say, well, guess what? People fucking fail every day.
Yeah.
And Wall Street doesn't like to talk about it and Hollywood doesn't like to talk about it, but they do fail. And you learn more from your failures than you do your successes. And so I get on stage and I say, students, get out there and fucking fail.
Yeah, totally.
Get out there and take a job with a startup that's trying to make this world a better place. Forget these big corporations.
Don't fail your exams, though. Pass those.
Oh, geez, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the professors, and they loved it because in their curriculum, like today's world, all the kids are coddled. And, Mom, can I come home this weekend? And our parents are like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we don't challenge ourselves. We don't challenge ourselves
anymore. And they're completely risk adverse. So they're like, get over here, Andy, and give this speech to these kids. Get them excited to get out there. Because I get out there, I'm like, listen, yeah, I'm the blowjob king of the world. And they're cheering. They love it. And then I say, get out there and fucking fail. What is the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to move back in with your parents. Well, most of you have already done it. So listen, what else is going to go wrong? I mean, find something you love to do that is making the world a better place. Find a startup that's doing cool shit. Mm. You may not make all the money in the world to begin with, but guess what? You're doing the right thing and you will love yourself for that, you know?
Do you know what, Andy? I think that is insane advice because, okay, so from an outside perspective, watching the documentary and seeing the things that get wrong, we could, you know, we could spend 24 hours talking about the things that go wrong from everything. But the main thing which I didn't even realize is the backlash on you as an individual. And that is, you didn't do anything wrong. You were just trying to save something that you were hired to do. And the person who was frauding everyone was Billy McFarlane, who's now in prison. But you're so right. You became the face of it because of a comment that you made almost at the end as a passing comment that made you sort of face it. Everyone goes, oh, that's the guy. And then what happens is perhaps that they suddenly get an idea, well, perhaps you were in it, perhaps you were scamming. And you spent your whole life building your career, building your reputation, building these different things. And as you said, at one moment, because of this fucking festival, people then see you as something else. And that's hard to deal with. Yeah, that's really hard
and
to
I
deal
think,
with.
And we touched on it a little bit earlier, but, you know, my ethos now is all about sustainability, because there I was, the king, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street, and hosting all these big events, which were very, very wasteful. And in 2014, I was blessed to be able to help produce a big activation, a big event in New York, which was based around one of the first climate marches, where people flew in from all around the world to participate. And we produced Beyoncé in Central Park. And after the concert, you have never seen so many plastic water bottles and Solo cups and garbage on the ground. It was unfucking believable. And that was my turning point in 2014, where I said, I will never have plastic at any event ever again. Mm-hmm. And I will begin this journey. And that's why I'm here in London now, working with The Meeting Show and an organization called Isla. And we're launching a virtual course for event planners on sustainability. How do you make your events as close to zero waste as possible? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, right before COVID, I hosted a nice dinner for Leonardo DiCaprio for 400 guests. Coldplay performed at dessert. The event was 99.9% zero waste, and it was fucking unbelievable. And I raised over $8 million for climate change at the dinner. And
what,
so,
what was the 0.1% waste? Was it one of the Coldplay tracks?
It was a tampon. It's a stupid tampon. I framed it. I still have it. I wear it as a necklace.
That, no, you
I
don't know, you raised $8 million in one night.
That's amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah.
How many guests are there?
There were about 400 guests.
400 guests, $8 million. That's a good... employees. People are... Yeah.
Well, we recruited artists from all around the world who donated these amazing art pieces. Mm. And we hosted it at a ranch. And I brought the event to Santa Rosa, California. You guys may remember Santa Rosa because half of Santa Rosa burnt down four years ago. And so 6 months after... I said, how can we give back to this community? And Leo loved the idea. We did move it from Saint-Tropez, where you always had the party with the Russians. And, you know, anyway, the parties always cost $20 million, and then give them $20 million to hand out to all those charities. But I couldn't quite compete with that. But I said, Leo, your brand is going down the tubes as the spokesperson for sustainability in Hollywood. Like, you have to bring the party home. We've got to bring the carbon footprint down. And so we were able to do really cool things like, you know, finding a third generation ceramicist who made all the pottery for the 400 guests for the five courses, and all the pottery got donated to families who'd lost their homes. There were so many things that we did to make it as close to zero waste as possible. But that is my niche now, is the sustainability piece. And, you know, yesterday we're having breakfast with Claire, our good friend.
Yeah, we have family friends.
We've got mutual friends.
We've got mutual friends connected.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Cute mutual Claire. Friends. And I said, Claire's like, well, Andy, so... You know, no one's really listening now. Right?
No one can hear anything.
You know, is there going to be another fire festival? I said, well, you know, maybe.
Shut up.
Yeah, maybe.
No,
and, you know, I'm not making any announcements, you know, and so.
Wait, because the brand is so recognizable.
Bingo. And guess
if
what?
If you need a couple of hot influencers.
And guess what?
And you've got a couple of hot influencers right here.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, baby, we're on it.
Uh-huh. And then the cute boy who sued me for $100 million. he bought the rights to fire. He bought the IP, the intellectual property.
Who did Billy?
I'm not saying, no, not Billy. No,
someone else.
Leonardo.
A boy that was suing me and Billy for $100 million for the class action. And he bought it, thank God. So now we're close friends.
Wow, that's smart.
And so I said, okay, what do we do? Well, we will do another one. But guess what? The next festival will be as close to zero waste as possible.
Amazing.
It will be highlighting amazing young people doing incredible stuff. We will have local farmers.
It's going to be zero waste because it's not going to happen.
No.
Honestly, it's going to be so sustainable.
So sustainable. What? You missed the festival? It was incredible. Ask nobody.
Turn up to an empty field.
It's the greatest party that never, ever, ever.
No, they're like, not again.
He's just you and Ja Rule again.
Oh, Jesus. Ja. Imagine well, that was... So we produced... Ja. I produced
Imagine
I,
turning up and it's just Ja Rule in a field. You're like, oh, I should have fucking known.
Well, it'll be better than Rick Ross. That's another story. Should I tell one quick story?
Yeah,
this
course.
Is a rocker.
I can't wait.
You will die.
I just let you roll because it says you could.
Oh,
your storytelling
God.
Is second to none.
So Billy calls me and says, Andy, I want to have a party for all the Magnesis members, like 800 at that point. I'm like, okay, well, sure. And when do you want it? He's like, you know, in 2 months. I'm like, I can cope with that, whatever. So I go find the Brooklyn Savings Bank in New York. And this really sweet couple from Argentina had recently bought it and put $20 million in this building. So it was an old bank, which is now the coolest event space in New York. Mm. And so I go meet with them and I said, listen, we're going to have 800 preppy kids that are all coming in. They all work for banks and blah, blah, blah. And it's the right demographic for you guys. I said, oh, God, we love it. And I said, you know, we're going to have a performance and we'll have food stations. And okay, great, you know. And so I'm like, Billy, who's performing? And he's like, well, I don't know yet, you know. So a few weeks go by. We're about, you know, 2 weeks out, and the phone rings, you know, and it's the owners of the bank building. And like, Andy, Billy's selling tickets. He promised us this was only going to be members only, but he's selling tickets. That can't be happening. Gosh. And I'm like, God damn it, Billy, but this isn't typical Billy. So I'm like, I said, Billy, you got, he said, all right, don't worry. I'm taking it down. I'll take it down. We're getting the attendance we need. I said, okay, fine.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And then 1 week out, I'm up at our holiday house, you know, and it's Labor Day weekend. It's the end of the summer, you know, phone rings. And it's the owners of the, he said, Andy, we're canceling your event. I'm like, what's going on? He said, well, apparently Billy's hired Rick Ross as the entertainment. And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck Rick Ross is. So I immediately say to one of my assistants, can you like Google Rick Ross for me? And of course, like, Rick Ross staged his own drive-by shooting in Hollywood, Florida last month. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah. But he made sure that they didn't kill him, but they just grazed his shoulder.
No, so wait, that, I did not know that.
But he, oh, yeah.
Just made sure he grazed his shoulder.
Yeah, just grazed it, you know, so probably like ruined one of his shirts, you know, and maybe he had a Band-Aid, whatever.
But don't kill him, just graze him with bullets.
He staged the shooting. So, of course, it became really controversial, but I think he, like, named different gangs that did it. You know, he made the whole fucking thing up. And so whenever there's an announcement in any city that Rick Ross is performing, every police department has to beef up and like add 100 officers and then extra cars and on and on. And so this poor couple are like, you are not having your party here. Like, we're nice people. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, now like, I'm in my car, you know, driving 9 hours back to New York to find another fucking facility that's happening. You know, we're having this party in 6 days.
Is this all flagging at the beginning? That
maybe should have been red light, red light, red light. No, but I'm colorblind, you know, so everything's green light to me. And, whatever. Great. So here we go. I find an abandoned warehouse in Brooklyn, but I'm like, God, we need to fix this place up a little bit. And I get graffiti artists to come in, and they do all the artwork on the walls. It's amazing. And then Rick's team freaked out. They're like, well, it's not going to be that bank anymore. I'm like, no, because you guys are fucked up creatures. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, and then they came to look at the warehouse. We're not sure we like this. I'm like, oh my God, Rick wants, you know, so Rick has
Rick wants.
Good old Rick wants what? Oh my God, you can't imagine. I spent almost $100,000 in his green room where he wanted like purple M&Ms and like weird sushi from Africa and I don't know, 500 God, cases
America's
of some
a
rare
mad place.
Vodka, you know, so this nuts. Fucking monster. I mean, I'm like, good God, for four fucking songs. And Billy's like, oh, we're going to pay him $80,000. I'm like, $80,000 for four songs? Yeah. And it's in cash. And he gave me the paper bag. And we had to meet his people in the park to pay them. And I'm like, I don't do this. Kind of like, I have an ATM card and I have to suck his dick. Jesus, no. God.
Not Rick Ross.
So the night,
I don't know, Rick.
The nightmare begins. So Rick says, you have to deal with Gucci. I'm like, who's Gucci? His manager, Gucci. Gucci, who wears he wears Gucci sneakers, he has a Gucci watch, a Gucci hat. Like, it's a big fucking joke, but Gucci is Gucci. And I'm like, hey, Gooch, you know, whatever, I don't know what to call him, you know.
Hey,
well,
hi, what up, Gooch?
Hanging out with you, Gooch, you know, cool, here's your fucking money, great, don't kill me now, you know. So we're all buds, everything's going great. And the week before, I'd helped organize a little dinner for my pals, Jay-Z and Beyonce. And a little restaurant in Brooklyn had come up with this great idea where they got a caravan, a little Airstream, and they put it in the back courtyard of this restaurant. And they made it like this exclusive place to have dinner for 12 people or less. And so a friend of mine manages Kanye, which is a nightmare, and he married this girl who manages the Biebs, so they're both totally crazy now. But anyway, he's like, Andy, can you help us do this little dinner? So I said, fine. But I said, geez, Gabe, everybody has to go through a metal detector. And Beyonce and Jay-Z are like, fine, that's great. Yeah. So Gooch, I'm like, take the call. And Gooch is like, I'm just reading the itinerary. It says that, you know, you're making us all go through a metal detector. I'm like, yeah. He said, that's not going to work. Let me call my people. I'll see if I can work this out. And then the next call, hey, Rick has a posse. I'm like, what's a posse?
They've all got replacement hips, so it's going to be a nightmare.
Posse. It's like, yeah, he travels with 30 people. Who the fuck wants to travel with him? We need 12 Chevy Suburbans, two Escalades, and I'm like, oh my God, okay, great. Like, he's just coming 40 feet away, whatever. So, you know.
40 then, feet away.
Then, boom, then it happens. It's like, we're not going to the metal detector. And I'm like, you have to go to the metal detector. I mean, what are you talking about?
We're allergic.
And we're not. And then Billy calls me. You're ruining everything. What are you doing? And I'm like, what? He's like, they're canceling on me. I'm like, they have to go through a metal detector. He's like, Andy, forget the metal detector. I'm like, Billy, what goes on? And he's just, you know, so I'm like, Gucci, you got to help me here. We got to meet somewhere in the metal.
Metal detector. Definitely no guns there.
Gucci's like, I said, why? What's wrong? He's like, Andy, well, they all pack. And I'm like, pack? Like a picnic?
Are they packing Gucci bags?
He's like, they don't pack lunch. They pack guns. I'm like, they're bringing guns to a kid party? What goes
on? All these preppy kids.
All of them, like, 30 guys have guns. I'm like, they're not bringing guns. My lawyer's like, Andy, the party's over. Like, I'm like, no, Billy's going to kill me. I can't, you know, boom, you know. So I finally got them to leave the guns in the car. They come in. Sweaty old Rick gets up there and starts to sing, you know, fuck you, I fucking hate her. Vagina, the pussy. I'm like, oh my God, and the kids are all, yeah, great. And the kids just love it, you know. So he sings his fourth song.
Rick's listening.
Fourth song. Yeah. And then one of my assistants like, Andy, we have a problem. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, Doug.
She's gone rogue.
Doug just called your neighbor, and he heard you were producing Rick Ross, and his team just called, and they booked him around the corner, and they're paying him like $100,000 to perform at the Bowery Ballroom, which is this big place near my loft. And I'm like, that fucker, what? And so all of a sudden, fourth song's over, and Billy's like, yeah, yeah, and all Billy wants. He's like a little kid, you know.
He just wants that praise. He wants that glory. Yeah,
he
yeah.
wants the pictures, and hey, I'm with Rick and Gooch, you know, whatever, you know, all this posse. And guess what? Rick and his little gang got up. I'm like, okay, great. And my staff's like, okay, over here to the green room, you know, everybody's going, yeah, no, right for the fucking front door. They never even went to the green room, which was $100,000. Never ate a pink M&M or whatever he ordered. Not the African sushi. No, nothing got eaten. Great. And off they went. And poor Billy was like a little kid who, like, his balloon popped at the birthday party.
Yeah, because they just realized that for them it was just going to be business. He didn't care.
Yeah. But guess what? Got in his little Maserati with the driver and, like, followed the van.
He followed Rick Ross.
I just want to have my picture taken. I think he finally got it. I don't know. So I had to put half the party on my black Amex card because, Billy's like, I, you know, and this is, you know,
but
I shouldn't say this out
thing.
Loud.
But was this a recurring thing? Say it. Go on.
So, of course, the reason why Billy's in prison is for, you know, a couple of different reasons. But the main one I suffered from, of course, you know, 4 years before, because there it was, my business partner, like, Andy, he says, you got like $80,000 on your Amex card. Like, Billy needs to pay you. So I'm like, hey, Bill, listen, did you get the invoice? Yeah, I got the invoice, yeah. I said, Billy, we really need to be paid. Okay, cool. I'll wire you the money. So, of course, I'm like, okay, great.
Why are you winking at me? Why are you winking at me, Billy?
Oh, fuck. Jesus. I'm like, okay, great. So all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I'll send you a screenshot of the wire confirmation, which, of course, is what he did in Fire all the time, which is why he's in prison, because he continually sent fake wires to everybody.
What?
Because you basically can go, oh, yeah, I need to wire Jamie, you know, Lang, you know, there's $250,000, blah, 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 blah. And you initiate it. And then there's the initiation page. And he takes a picture of that and sends you, like, oh, great, it looks like a confirmation to me. And it looks like a confirmation to everybody.
He's just fraudulating. He's cheating his way through the system.
Absolutely. And then he'd get on a plane in the Bahamas. He's like, fuck, okay, I just sent 4 fake wire transfers. I've got to get back to New York, meet with new investors, and raise another couple million to clear them.
What?
And this is what he's
like a Ponzi scheme.
It was a Ponzi scheme on his own self. It was
just building, which is the worst kind of scheme.
Right. And so I'm like, Billy, you know, okay, so you sent me the money. Okay, well, and then he'd say, Billy, you know, I have Chase. You have Chase. Like, it's not here. He's like, hold on, let me call the bank. Then he called me back. I talked to them, but it was Friday, Andy. So then it didn't go out until Friday afternoon, so it's actually not going to hit your account until Tuesday instead of Monday. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. And then the next day, my business partner's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, Billy, where's the money? There's no money. He's like, I'll call the bank again, you know. But then somehow he went somewhere and came up with the money and sent it by the end of that week or whatever. But that's what he was doing through Fire.
Okay, but Annie, with you,
and I should have learned, once again, colorblind. Yeah, like, red light. I mean, it was like...
That would stress me out, living like that.
Meeting you, Annie, I would say that you're like...
You're too much of a nice guy.
Nice guys finish last, let me tell you. But you're also...
Look, you've worked with so many different people. You've worked with banks. You understand people, right? Like, you can walk into a room, you understand that you understand people. How can you so misjudge him?
I just want to believe the best in everybody, you know? And I think that it's fascinating because I told this story do you guys know Clubhouse, this new platform?
Yeah.
So I've done a few...
Join me on Wednesdays. I didn't do it anymore.
I've done a few chats, and the founders of Clubhouse are like, oh my God, Andy, you're amazing. And you know, we had like... I think you can get 2,000 in a room, but my first one, I got like 1,000 or more in the room. And like, this doesn't happen usually. It usually is kind of a gradual thing. And so people were asking me, you know, they get in your room or whatever, and I think they keep their clothes on, you can't see them. But anyway, they're like, you know, can we ask you a question? Sure. And then one fucker last week was like, so Andy, you know, like, you say all these great things or whatever, and you call Billy an entrepreneur, like, you're just as guilty as he is. And the whole thing started to twist around. I was like, I had to like calm myself down, but he like...
Just get off it. Woo.
Yeah. But I was like saying to one of the producers, why have you not fucking deleted this guy or like pushed the eject button? But they didn't. But he went on to say different things. Like, well, there was one last quick story, which was we were flying from New York down to the Bahamas, and Billy had lost his fucking passport as usual, because he's constantly doing stuff like that. And, he knew a passport control guy somewhere in like the Carolinas or something, in a small airport. So he's like, we need to fly through North Carolina, this teeny airport. Yeah. Andy, all you have to do is blow everybody, all the TSA people, and you know. Oh my God. Yeah, it's like Craig and I crossing the border from Canada to the States. People like all the border patrol like, that's you. Like, that's me. Yeah. No, I'm not sucking your dick. Like, we're going to retain you here, detain you for a little while. I'm like, I'm not sucking your dick. Like, I got to go. We've done nothing wrong.
Well, wait, are you saying?
Can you step out of the car? No, I'm not getting out of the car. I have a picnic. I'm packing. I don't know. Call Rick Ross.
Packing.
Tell Gucci there's a problem. No.
But wait, so you're flying with him down to the Bahamas.
Oh, and so we're going to this airport. It's literally like 1 o'clock in the morning. And that airport had closed at 10, and then the airport in the Bahamas closes at like 6 in the evening, so we have to bribe everybody to get through anywhere. So we're getting off the plane in the Carolinas to like clear customs so we can get over to the Bahamas, and all of a sudden Billy says, oh my God, I need you to do me a favor. And when I would always travel with like my beautiful blazer on, you know, or my chic little something. So he's like, can you just, and the next thing you know, he's pushing all these wads of money in all my pockets. And he's like, I just need you to walk through because they like you, you know, and then no one's going to frisk you or, you know, but I love it when they frisk me. I always put like change in my pockets at TSA, and they're like, And they get pat you down. They're like, I'm going to turn my hands around. Like, you don't have to turn your hands around. Like, I'm gay. I haven't had a date in weeks. And they're like, no, whoa, you're freaking me out. Marge, can we get a replacement over here? And I'm like, and the alarm's going off because I keep putting change in my pockets. I say, you can touch me there. You're actually freaking me out. Get the guy through.
You actually like metal detectors.
I love them. I'm like, oh, my people are avoiding me. Like, what's in your pocket? I don't know. Not to you touch it. Yeah. So Billy fills all my pockets with money. And I'm like, what is going on? So I'm probably got like 20 or 30 grand in my pockets. And I'm like, I said, Billy, what is this? He's like, we need to pay the employees. And I said, I get it. Because we were playing. Most of our employees in the Bahamas don't have a bank account. They don't have a time card. You know, they just arrive every morning. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, we need this money to pay employees. I'm not like calling Pablo to get my new stash. I'm not like, this is legitimate, like bringing money down to pay people. So it's fine with it, you know. So I tell this story in Clubhouse, this fucking guy, like, and you're like, you're bringing money through, you're just as corrupt as Billy. I'm like, who is this? Someone push a button. Who is this guy?
But
and it shook me up. And I was like, I said, you're in our industry. Like, he works with music festivals and producing world tours. Like, have you ever left the country and gone anywhere where you need to get money? You need to do something. Well, you'd legitimately open up bank accounts in foreign countries. I'm like, fuck you. Listen. Like, have you ever done an event in Mexico? Like, and I go down there, I'm like, oh, yeah, I rented a hotel. And two months later, I get back. I'm like, we're here for the event. And I'm like, we don't have your reservation.
It's reminding me of...
You don't have my reservation. I have 1,000 people coming. But then you slip them an envelope with 10 grand. They're like, yeah, it's my like, God, you're the presidential suite. I'm like, my God, that's how the world works.
It's like, and this guy's get him to the Greek with Russell Brand, and where he slips, he has to put the stuff up his ass going through
through customs. Doesn't that feel cool?
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
But Annie, what's going to happen is, I think that's the, you know, that's the way in life, right? You're gonna have haters. Of course you are. And also, you know, it is one of the things I think with that guy Billy, you know, he's a master manipulator, right? Is he still in prison now? But then there was this
whole, is he having a good time?
Then there's this whole thing where he tried to like set up NYC something else after Fire Festival and all this
selling
stuff.
Tickets to anything you couldn't buy a ticket
but,
for.
But was he I mean, look, he's
just
in
an entrepreneur.
You know, with this guy Billy, you know, he's in prison, all this kind of stuff. Did he actually have a plan to try and make the best festival, and he just got caught up in it all?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, I mean...
Totally. It just grew bigger than he ever could even, fathom. He couldn't control it. It got too out of control. And, you know, there's no excuse for that. You have to then reassess, you know, and I blame myself at times where I say, I could have stopped the whole thing after week two and just said, everybody, go home. Like, Billy, we're having a meeting. And this is when I now talk to people in our industry who are hosting festivals and who are hosting large events. And you get these crazy clients that are like, I want to have it fly everybody to the moon. Well, they're doing that fucking Branson anyway, but then I don't know, it's whatever.
But it's true. But they want to do all these things. And you're like, no, you just have to manage expectations. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then I say to people in the industry, sometimes you have to fire your client. Sometimes you say, you know what? We're 3 weeks out. Everything you're asking for cannot happen. Mm. And now it's my brand that's going to be damaged and your brand. But you're not being realistic. And half the time, I don't care. This is what we want. This is how we want to have it. And you're like, okay, guess what? We're done. Yeah. And you walk away and they're like, they call back in 5 minutes. Please come back in, okay? Let's just talk this through. And then you just say, listen, you are not doing XYZ. Let's keep this controllable. Let's make it what we can. It will be fantastic. But as you said, managing expectations is important.
I listened to this podcast once, which was about the guy who set up all the Apple stores in America. And he brought Steve Jobs down like 5 days before they were all opening. And Steve Jobs went, yeah. And the guy who was opening said, I don't like them. And Steve Jobs says, well, let's not open them. Let's change it. And always the thing is that people think, oh, God, we just got to do it. But actually, if something isn't right, if it's going to damage the brand, if it's not good, just don't do it.
I think it's very easy when something's so public because they'd had so many influences behind it. You just like, oh, it has to happen now. You're kind of forced.
I think it's the pressure, right? It builds up. And Annie, listen, we could sit and talk to you for hours and hours and hours.
I've had a lot of fun. I hope you guys have too.
We had your storytelling is something to behold in the most fabulous way. It really is. And I just love the fact that your honesty and all these different things. And listen, I love the idea of sustainability. You're focusing on that. You're doing all these things right now,
was a meeting show with Isla, which is very exciting. So we're going to be trying to get as many event planners to sign up as possible to really like learn what does it take and how do you host as close to zero waste events as possible. And this is really coming out of COVID. What the world should be doing.
I'd like to sign up to that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, good.
Let's do it.
Well, Alex, we're going to figure out. Yeah, we'll tell everybody.
Sign me up.
Yeah, put your hand up, mate. Yeah,
he's there. You go, yeah.
Right here.
But Andy, you know, we want to follow you. We can follow you on social media, can't we?
Yes, Real Andy King.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of one of the goals too. Is that I do a lot of podcasts to try to increase my followers, and one of the things that we're trying to accomplish is just trying to spread love and just
love that
and spread positivity. You know, I mean, there's so much negativity and with social media, it can be cruel. And I think that it's important to be able to make people feel better. We get messages every day from people just saying, you know, some of our posts can be so simple of cooking something or in the garden or working on something sustainable, and then just say, nothing makes me happier to see your post and brings mm-hmm. a smile to my face. So I think it's important, but I want to thank you guys for letting me come on.
Are you kidding me, Andy? No, thank you so much. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. We're huge fans. I think all the listeners are going to love the documentary, and then hearing you in person, it's just, you know, it's amazing, your stories. Listen, buddy, what we like to do at the end of the podcast, though, is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Something inspirational.
Anything you want. Don't
Firefest 2, don't come.
Don't come. Oh my word. I mean, something inspirational. I wake up every day saying, you know, as we touched on earlier, what do you want your legacy to be? You know, and I want people to say that Andy King made the world a better place. And I think we all should have that mantra.
Love that. Andy King, thank you so much. Everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.